Thank you, Jim. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Well, this Thanksgiving, since our older daughter is in New Zealand for 6 weeks, and so we thought, you know what, since it's only the three of us, let's not do Thanksgiving dinner. And so we went out for Thanksgiving dinner at this restaurant. And it was the worst turkey I've ever had. We said never again because Sophia cooks a great Thanksgiving turkey and all the trimmings and all that. So we said never again. So we learned a great lesson. Well, on a serious note, this Thanksgiving, Sophia and I were sitting in our breakfast table and just sharing what we're thankful for. And both of us, immediately the first thing that came to mind was we're really thankful for the marathon class. And we have been so touched by grace that's been poured out on us. And even just last week, Sophia shared about her dad, and so many of you reached out to her directly to say that y'all are praying for her. And that's been such a wonderful encouragement to us. So thank you for all that you do, and thank you for loving us so well. It's our privilege to minister among you, and so we love it. By the way, I want to thank the Brooks family, especially for all that you do on a week-to-week basis. I know I'm thankful for all the volunteers that make this class possible for, but I love the fact that the whole family is involved in helping us out. So would you help me in thanking them today? Thank you, Peyton and Jennifer and Joseph back there. And let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for your grace poured out on us through your Son, Jesus Christ. How can we ever repay you for what you've done for us? In this Thanksgiving and Christmas season, it is our time to reflect upon all the blessings that you've given to us. And I pray, Lord, that not only will we be recipients of it, but we'll be givers of your gifts to those around us. And we commit that to you. We also commit our time that we have before your word. Thank you that your word encourages, that your word never returns void without fulfilling what you've intended for it to fulfill. And we think about all of our needs, even in this class. And I pray, Lord, that you would use your word to encourage all of us today. And we commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As we come to our study of the book of Hebrews, you know what? I've shown this enough times where you probably have now committed to memory, yeah? They said that key to memory is repeating something seven times. Well, I've shown you more than seven times, and so you should have this memorized, yeah? And so as I'm flipping through these slides, I want you to think about, you probably have my voice ringing in your ears. So think about all the arguments that the author is making regarding the superiority of Jesus Christ, as so many of the believers were contemplating a return back into what they thought was a safe haven of Judaism. They were ready to bolt and to embrace that which they had left. And so the author wants to encourage the believers to go on to maturity and go forward because therein lies the rest that God provides. Yes, the supernatural peace that comes in our obedience as we go forward. And so as we come to this important chapter of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it's often referred to as the Great Hall of Faith, and you all are very familiar with this chapter, but I want to be able to read it through. And as I read it through, sometimes, you know, some things are left best uncommented on, if you know what I mean. You know, in Hebrews 11 is such a chapter where it's best for me not to speak anything about it. Yeah, as I read it, I want you to think about just a thrust and the power of those words that are given in chapter 11. But I want you to turn first to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. I want to pick it up there. We're following the fourth of these warning passages, as we saw last week, how frightening the alternative is in not obeying God, but going forward, going backwards. But I want you to look at verse 32 that really provides the context in what the author is arguing. I look at verse 32. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so mistreated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So now do not throw away your confidence because it will be what? Richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are what? Saved. Yeah. So when we look at this chapter, chapter 11, what you have in the first three verses is the definition of faith. And then the bulk of the section focuses on the demonstration of faith in the lives of so many of the believers that are mentioned there. And then it ends with a destiny of faith in verses 39 through 40. And so I'll leave this screen on here, where in the demonstration of faith, the author gives a broad structure of through different ages in the pre-patriarchal period, during the patriarchal period, in the life of Moses, in the time of the conquest, in the time of the judges to the prophets. And so going way back to even Adam, you have all these saints that are mentioned through the course of time. And the whole point is that these saints have all walked that road of faith in their belief in God. And so if they've done it, then we too can walk that road of faith in spite of all the sufferings that will come our way. And so let me read Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 40. By the way, the phrase by faith appears 21 times. Yeah. So whenever that phrase occurs, take note of that and maybe circle it in your Bibles. Let me read. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. And by faith, he condemned the world and he became the heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign land. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. And by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around the city for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were so disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. I don't know about you, but reading through that always in its entirety, especially in the context of the entire book of Hebrews, all of a sudden those words take on a more fuller meaning, don't they? anything that kind of jumps out at you about the names that were read and what was described of them regarding their faith, especially in the context of the book of Hebrews, any names that come up that kind of jumped out at you about what you've read? Samson often is told in a very negative light. But Samson also had faith to be able to do the things that he did. Yes? Very good. What else? What else kind of jumped out at you? Rahab, yeah, someone who was Canaanite prostitute. And yet because of her faith that she would be included not only in this chapter, but in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? What grace can do in the lives of God's people. Yeah, who else? Who else kind of jumps out at you?
David.
In spite of all of his flaws even, that David would be mentioned as one who had immeasurable faith. Yeah, immeasurable faith. Yeah. By the way, in the book of Chronicles, which parallel 1 Samuel, David's sins are not even mentioned. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you so glad that we're not defined by our sins, but in the totality of our faith? Yeah. What else kind of jumps out at you? Moses. Mm-hmm. Very good. What else kind of jumps out at you? Yes, Grace.
He suffered so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joseph. Yeah. Talk about a person who had every reason to be angry. But you never, ever find a trace of that. Yes, because everywhere you turn, everywhere Joseph turned, he was wronged by people he trusted. And yet, through it all, especially God, he never lost faith in God. Yeah, very good. What else? What other names? Yes. Yeah, the prophets and prophetesses, right? Yeah. Isaiah, who was sawn in two. And so many of those prophets who had the most difficult ministries. I think about Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, those prophets. You know what I see common among all those prophets is that they all had a personal encounter with God. You know why that was so important? Because the ministries that God would entrust to them would be so difficult. He even told Jeremiah, you're going to minister for 40 years and not see a single convert. I often joke with seminary students, how many of us would sign up for seminary or ministry that way? If we knew that, not one single convert. But yet, I say, I give them this question. Would God consider their ministry a success? And the answer is, of course, a resounding yes. But how would our churches look at their ministries? Our mission boards wouldn't be too impressed, would they? But you know what? God's impressed, not by the results of how many people come to faith in Christ, but by our obedience. Yes? Floyd.
I've been doing a little bit of reading about Abraham's background. Abraham had one of the seediest backgrounds, ancestry, that you could wish for.
Yeah. Floyd is mentioning about Abraham's background coming out of a pagan background.
Sure. For centuries, and the struggles that he had obeying God to the point of sacrificing his son, which was done in his family.
It was very much of a pagan thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All that, by the way, even Abraham left behind. Yes, and never looking back. Very good. What else comes to mind?
Verse 29 and 30, group faith.
The what?
Group faith.
The group faith. Okay.
29 and 30.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. What an amazing chapter this is. And I hope that you can read Hebrews 11, especially in the context of what has gone before. Yeah. The context of the book of Hebrews and what that would mean for all of us as we too walk in that road of faith. Yes. This song for you, it's a YouTube video clip of a song sung by Steve Green. And I think it perfectly encapsulates this chapter, not only Hebrews 11, but the entire book. And so I think it's so relevant for us, especially as we look at Hebrews 11. Not only do we have all those that have gone before us that encourage us on in this road of faith, but also equally important is what we leave behind, yes? And what a sobering reminder for us as we think about even our children and the younger people that we get to represent. What an important message that is for us. Any thoughts from you? Any questions that you would have regarding this? And if I can have the microphones ready too, thank you. Any thoughts? Yes, ma'am, it's coming right.
I just want to know why Enoch is mentioned here, and it says Enoch. We don't know a lot about his life.
Right.
His father was Cain, a murderer, and he went up. I mean, I'm curious about what he did. And I know he was the father of Methuselah, but
Enoch.
Yeah.
You know the one? You mean the one that God took?
Yeah.
Enoch was no more because God took him.
I know. Why? The rest of them died. Why did he take him up?
You know, we could only think about the fact that God must have really loved him where he took him and Enoch was no more. Yeah.
There you go. I did better.
Well, I think it really speaks to Enoch's faith that differs from his father. Yeah.
He walked with God.
Yeah. He was pleasing to God. Yeah. Yeah. What else? What other questions might you have? Yes. Harry, way in the front.
Harry?
I have a question about if you'd elaborate a little bit more on 40B specifically. I mean, 40 is interesting, but 40B?
Yeah, read it for us, please.
Oh, apart from us, they would not be made perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole idea is that this great hall of faith wouldn't be complete without us. Yeah, that they've gone before us. And the whole concept of all of us receiving the ultimate reward altogether is the idea. Yeah, there've been these saints who've gone before us, yes, but that includes us. And then those who come after us, all of us will be part of God's kingdom for all of eternity. Yes, I think that's the idea. Yeah, we're in a string of all those saints that'll be all inclusive for all of eternity. I think that's the idea. Yeah. What else? What other questions or comments might you have regarding not only this song but the whole chapter of Hebrews 11? Yes, ma'am, Marta.
I guess I'll get accused of talking a lot. The significance of what we leave behind, mm-hmm. based on what's come before us, and I have to think of my grandmother, her influence on my life, and how I need to be in. I need to be in a better, and I need not to be better, but to be an equal influence on those I leave behind.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that. I remember my maternal grandmother was one of the first believers in Korea. And I remember when I was growing up, my brother and I shared a bedroom with my grandmother. And she would always sleep on top of our heads. And then, and she would always, I remember even after we fell asleep, just holding our heads and praying that we would come to know the Lord early on in life. And then she would especially get a hold of my hair. And then she would say, I want this one to come to not only know you, but to serve you for the rest of his life. And just the impact of prayer, yes? And what that does for all of us as we leave the legacy behind, yes? So thank you, Marta. Absolutely right. Yeah. What other comments or questions might you have? Dan Crispo, way back there. By the way, thank you, Dan, for making that video possible.
Oh, we all worked on it. Thanks. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Mm. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Mm-hmm. And I guess my comment or thought is, some of these people in the Hall of Faith, they were not perfect. And it kind of comforts me to see how God only looks at our heart, although our motives may not be entirely 100% pure, or somehow we have a wrong understanding. As long as we do our best out of devotion and love for him, knowing that he is God, he's a rewarder, he's able to make fruit out of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's encouraging. And all these are actions. You can look at all the things that it's one thing after another of doing things, but the difference is that they did it in faith.
Absolutely.
That's the major thing that I can see here.
Yeah, thank you for that, Dan. I think that's what Jesus taught the disciples. Yes, it's not the size of our faith, but the object of our faith is the most important, yes? And he gives the mustard seed as an example. As you know, the mustard seed is the smallest seed, right, in that world. And so the whole point of it is, it's not the size of our faith, but it's the object of our faith that's pleasing to God. Yes? Yes, absolutely. Very good. What other? Yes?
This speaks to the leaving a legacy of faith. Mm-hmm. But if you go on to 12:1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And I think back to my grandparents who left a legacy of faith. And then my parents have 4 children, 10 grandchildren, and 22 great-grandchildren. And in that mix, everyone except the 2 littlest ones know Christ. My brother's a pastor. We have 3 missionaries, but everybody's walking with the Lord. And I just think, even though my mom can't remember who people are anymore in her own family, my parents have left such a legacy of faith. And that was something that Bob and I decided before we had grandchildren. Mm. And that we that was something we were going to concentrate on. And we didn't even have grandchildren when we made that commitment. Mm. But we think back to his family. He grew up in an immigrant Italian family that literally came from Italy over on the boat through Ellis Island. Mm-hmm. And we wonder, because there are multiple people in his family, big, huge Catholic Italian family, that know Christ.
Yeah.
And so we wonder who was praying. Mm. And we can't wait to get to heaven.
Right.
Leaving that legacy of faith. And the other thing that speaks to me and always has was when instead of talking about Abraham, that he went when he didn't know where he was going.
Yeah.
And then it says, instead of longing for a better country, they longed for a heavenly one. And I have written in my Bible, this world is not my home.
Yeah.
And that spoke to me because my husband, God bless him, moved me all over the country, you know, for years. And I kept feeling I wanted home. And God showed me that.
Yeah.
And home is with him.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that, Lisa. Yeah, just the power of prayer. You know, I always remind the Dallas Seminary students, you know, just don't forget that there are hundreds of older ladies who have committed to praying for Dallas Seminary students every morning. And so when you think about that, especially those who are going into the ministry, you never know the part that everyone plays in this bigger bigger design of all the prayers that have gone into our lives. Yes, I think only in heaven will we find out truly of all those that have prayed for us on our behalf. Yes, and the impact of those prayers. Yeah, and we'll study this in the book of Revelation. That every tear that you and I shed, That is bottled up by God, and that one day he will answer all of our prayers in response to all the prayers and all the tears that have been shed. Yes? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, David.
That song brought to mind something that I wonder about. Mm-hmm. Having gone through my parents' stuff, sifting through their mm-hmm. stuff, mm-hmm. Thinking forward to what our kids will sift through our stuff, will they really see evidence of faith, or will they just see climbing the ladder and doing all the worldly stuff?
So that's right.
It's sobering.
That's right. And they would even sift through our checkbooks. I love that reminder by Jonathan today and how we're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Yes, that will last for all of eternity. Exactly right. Yeah. And by the way, how Hebrews 11 not only is about how we live our life, but how we end our lives. Yes, because we become a living testament to those who come after us. And it is never too late to make things right with your children. And so I want to encourage you in that. If there are fractured or severed relationships with your children, What a time of the year to make it right with your children. Yes? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
My name is Olga.
Yes, Olga.
And I would like to thank you, Pastor Steve, for teaching us God's word. I appreciate that so much. And I would like to say thank you to everyone on the leadership. I appreciate that so much. May God bless you.
Yeah, thank you, Olga. Appreciate that. That's very kind. Yes, Sally?
On 11:20, where it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Mm-hmm. And in the contrast between the two sons, and one was a liar and a deceiver, but wanted so desperately spiritual things, and the other was involved in worldly things, mm-hmm. good food, you know, hunting and everything. Mm-hmm. And it just shows you that the things that are not seen are more important than the things that are seen.
Yes, yes.
And that is very sobering to think it's the spiritual part that is the most important.
That's right. I think all of us would have chosen Esau over Jacob. When you think about it, right? But yet God chose Jacob. And, but you know what? it's amazing story about Jacob and Esau. In the lives of Jacob, you know, God would take him out of the land of promise. And he would take him out and force him to be in the land of Padan Aram, which would be God's refinery for 20 years. And God said, I can't bless you until you're ready to be blessed. And it took 20 years for God to take all that beguiling nature out of him. Yes. And so when you think about Jacob's life, you have to think about it this way. We all of us have a Jacob in us. And how easy it is in our fallen states to be manipulative. And to constantly be manipulating things, not only in our relationship with God, but also in our relationship with other people. And God takes that pain of a crucible of changing our hearts, yes, so that God can use us and bless us. And I love the fact that God is working on the life of Jacob, because he wanted to bless him. And God always sees, like has been mentioned here, he sees the totality of a person's life and the potential that all of us have to be blessed. Yes? Very good. Okay. All right. Let me close our time in prayer. Our Father, thank you for this reminder of all those saints, as imperfect as they were, that have gone before us, who paved the way for us to follow. But thank you also for reminding us today that we also would be paving that road for those who come after us, our children, our grandchildren, and so on. Help us to finish well. Help us to be reminded of the legacy that we leave behind. And I would pray for all of us that if there is something that you're prompting us to do even today, that we would do so in obedience, and that you would bless us in our trust and obedience. And we pray for your supernatural power to do just that. What an important thing for us to do that in this season of life of gifts and of giving and of grace and forgiveness. And we commit that time to you for your glory. Pray for this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. God bless you.
There we go. Thank you, Stephen. Until next week, or until Friday, I hope to see all of you Friday evening at the Christmas party. But until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.